just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip that started from this tropic port aboard this tiny ship. The mate was a mighty sailing man, the skipper brave and sure. 5 passengers set sail that day for a 3-hour tour, a 3-hour tour. The weather started getting rough, the tiny ship was tossed. If not for the courage of the fearless crew, the minnow would be lost. The minnow would be lost. The ship's aground on the shore of this uncharted desert isle, with Gilligan, the skipper too, the millionaire and his wife, the movie star, the professor and Mary Ann, here on Gilligan.
I remember watching reruns of Gilligan's Island growing up, and I remember as a kid watching that show just thinking it would be so cool to live out there on a deserted island. It would be such an adventure, you know, to live on your own and to have, you know, a little hut and to have campfires every night and s'mores, you know. It would have been a fun adventure. As an adult, I think it would be really, really nice to go to Gilligan's Island, but for completely different reasons. Not because it would be an adventure, but because it would be away from everything. And it feels like it would be peaceful to sleep in a hammock with the beach a short walk away. Peace. Peace isn't easy to find. Definitely not in our culture, not in our society. Our lifestyle, it just isn't very peaceful. The American Psychological Association has an article out that highlights some of the findings from the 2015 survey of stress in America, and they're comparing it to the survey that they took earlier in 2007. And in 2015, the top sources of stress were money was number one, work was number two, family responsibilities, which this is one of the changes they noticed from 2007 to 2015, family responsibilities moved up to number three. Health concerns, personal health concerns was number four, which ironically, stress causes health problems. So we stress about health problems and stress causes health problems. And so we stress about, it's just a vicious cycle. Number five was related to that, and it was health problems affecting the family that was a source of stress. And number six was the economy. How many of us can relate to this list? How many of us, you feel like, man, did I secretly do that survey and I don't remember filling that survey out or receiving that phone call? 75% of adults in that survey reported experiencing moderate to high levels of stress within a month of that survey. 75%. 34% said that over the past year their stress had increased, while only 16%, half of that number, said that their stress had decreased in the past year. People turn to all sorts of sources to find relief for their stress, don't they? I mean, we live in a stressful society and we see this. Some of those sources to find relief, some of them are very healthy. Some of them, as we know, are not very healthy. They're not very healthy at all. And they're downright dangerous. Then there's some that are healthy, but then in excess, they can become unhealthy. Our culture is not a culture that promotes peace. Even our entertainment isn't peaceful. You know, watching that and that's the color version. There's a black and white version of the Gilligan's Island intro there, opening credits. That entertainment, how peaceful some of those back in those days. You know, I was a kid and I was watching reruns of that. It was an old show. But even our entertainment isn't very peaceful. I mean, imagine if Gilligan's Island were modernized. I mean, Gilligan would secretly create alliances with the other castaways, with the ambition of being the lone survivor by outwitting, outlasting, and outplaying. This would include episode after episode of emotionally charged betrayals and the juggling of trust and lies to manipulate his way to the end. As one by one, each of the castaways were voted out and their torch snuffed out by Jeff Probst himself. Marianne would secretly be a comic book hero. She would have superpowers that were kept hidden by her farm girl disguise. And the episodes would include car chases and gunfights, martial arts fights, and massive explosions. You'd find out that the professor was actually a werewolf. And that Thurston Howell was a vampire. And there would be CGI fight scenes between the two. And you'd have large groups of fans choosing Team Professor or Team Thurston. Skipper would get hit on the head by, I don't know, maybe a coconut or something. He'd fall into a coma only to wake up to find himself in the middle of a zombie apocalypse. See, I have some Walking Dead fans out there. As he sets out to find the rest of the castaways, he would meet a whole bunch of new survivors, and they band together to fight and survive. Obviously, each episode would have its share of drama and gore. And then Ginger, she would begin a liberal political news show that aggressively attacks conservative values and views, all in the name of comedy and humor. Someone knows what I'm talking about there. Even our entertainment, our TV shows and our movies, some of the places where a lot of us turn to for relaxation, even our entertainment is void of peace. As we watch the opening credits of Gilligan's Island, we're reminded of that dreaded three-hour tour, where the boat that the skipper and Gilligan were a crew of, they were following a route that they went on a regular basis, day in and day out, a three-hour tour. But this day was different. The weather started getting rough, as the song says. As a storm came out of nowhere, they could not navigate through it. The tiny ship was tossed, and it could not hold up under it. And the passengers and the crew of the SS Minnow found themselves shipwrecked on a deserted island. There's a story during Jesus' time on earth with his disciples that has some similarities. Luke chapter 8 is one of the places where this is recorded. Verse 22, it says, "One day, Jesus said to his disciples, 'Let's go over to the other side of the lake.' So they got into a boat and set out, and they sailed. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake, so that the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger." Matthew, who experienced this event firsthand, he was one of the disciples, he records in his account of this story that it was a ferocious storm. Mark, who most likely got his information straight from Peter, who Peter would have been there firsthand, he records in his documentation of this story that it was a furious squall. And Luke here, after saying that a squall came down on the lake, which I think a squall is a really funny name, a word for that. It just sounds like a big bird to me, a squall. Luke writes in his gospel, after interviewing eyewitnesses and purposefully developing a documentary, that's the word I was looking for, of the life of Jesus, he states that they were in great danger. This was not some April shower. This was a life-threatening storm. It was a big deal. So much so that the disciples, they went and they woke Jesus up and they said, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." The disciples feared for their lives. This was an impressive storm. Because to cause this level of fear, I mean, even considering that one-third of the disciples were fishermen. James, John, Peter, and Andrew. We know that 4 out of the 12 were fishermen. They grew up on this lake. They would have been very familiar with this lake. They had fished on that lake for their lifetime. They came from a family of fishermen. Their boats, they were probably using one of their boats or a couple of their boats to cross. Boats they would have been very familiar with on a lake that they were very familiar with, where they would have been very familiar with the weather conditions on that lake, and they would have been very familiar with how their boats handled various weather conditions. And these men feared for their life. In all three of the Gospels that record this event, it states that the disciples legitimately believed that they were going to drown. That's how bad of a storm this was. So let's pause here and get a couple of quick comprehension questions. We're going to be looking at some comprehension questions, then some reflection questions on this subject of amazing peace as we continue our amazing series. So whose idea was it to get in the boat and go to the other side? So let's write the question down there, finish up the question. And then whose idea was it? Who? It's Jesus' idea. So you're going to write that answer there in your bulletin so you can remember that. Because I know it's going to be real difficult. That's an important piece, a very important piece. It was Jesus' idea to get in the boat. Next comprehension question. Did the disciples have a legitimate fear? Did they? Yes, they did. Absolutely. There is no reason to believe that they were overreacting. This was a serious storm. They were in great danger. And what's Jesus doing during this whole thing? He's sleeping. They had to wake him up. Jesus' ministry was off and running, and he was here and there and everywhere. He was teaching and healing the sick and driving out demons, rinse and repeat. He was teaching and driving out demons and healing the sick, and just over and over and over again everywhere he went. And people were coming out of the woodwork to see Jesus. Hey, Jesus, I was wondering about this little passage here in Isaiah. I just never really understood it. Could you tell me what he was getting at here? And amidst the big teachings we see, imagine how many little questions he got like that. Jesus, my family member's demon-possessed, and it's really messing up family get-togethers. Just, could you please come and take care of that for us? Jesus, my stomach isn't feeling so good. I just have this acid reflux. Could you heal that so I could get some sleep tonight? That would be wonderful. You are healed. Go and eat Taco Bell after midnight no more. And those are the people that sought Jesus for good reasons. He was not only sought after for good things, he was sought after by people who were enemies. Imagine all the stress that came from that as well. His enemies seeking to trap him as often as they could, causing trouble for him, stirring things up, doing their best to bully him. But Jesus kept from getting pushed in a corner, and he handled all this stress. Anyone that spent time in ministry or done anything ministry-oriented knows that it's very rewarding, but it's also very taxing. It's taxing physically. It's also taxing mentally and emotionally. And I believe that Jesus was legitimately tired. The three-hour tour from Gilligan's Island, in good weather conditions, the Sea of Galilee, this lake, as Luke describes it, it wasn't very big. 8 miles from the shortest side to one side, 13 to the other side. 3 hour tour in good weather with a sailboat, you could have made it there and back. So in a short amount of time, Jesus falls asleep before this storm hits. He is that tired. Disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and what? Amazement. They asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Mark records the words of Jesus, the words that Jesus used to rebuke the storm, the wind, and the waves. He says, he got up, rebuked the wind and the waves, rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Or some of you might be more familiar with the words, "Peace, be still," from the King James, New King James. "Hush, be still," a New American. "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. Jesus woke up and he did this amazing miracle. He woke up. I don't know about any of you, but I just don't function very well when I first wake up. I mean, I'm not a morning person, so that stretches out a little bit. But I think a lot of us are there within those first 5 minutes. I can't see straight this morning. It took me 5 minutes to realize that it's Sunday morning. I get to preach today. I better get going here. First 5 minutes, I wake up, I can't see straight, I can't function, I can't even walk in a straight line. I don't believe I would be able to pass a sobriety test within the first 5 minutes of being awake in the morning. I just don't think so. I just think it's just amazing. And to add amazing to amazing, Jesus wakes up out of a dead sleep with panic-stricken disciples yelling in his face. And he stands up, and in three words, he handles the situation. That's amazing, isn't it? He performs a miracle out of a dead sleep. 3 words and it's over. 3 words and the waves subside, the clouds roll back, the winds die down, and as Mark records, it was completely calm. And the disciples are like, who is this? Even the wind and the waves listen to his command. And then Jesus turns to his disciples and says, where is your faith? And I picture him curling back up in the stern of the boat where he was originally and falling back asleep for the rest of the trip. Two more comprehension questions before we hit some reflection. Did Jesus totally bring peace to a chaotic situation with just 3 words? The 3 should be green. I messed up on that. 3 words out of a dead sleep. Yep, yep, yep. Totally brought peace to a chaotic situation with just 3 words out of a dead sleep. That's amazing. Afterward, question number 4 there. Afterward, were the disciples terrified of Jesus or amazed by him? What? Amazed? Dave got it. I heard it over here too, I think. That was a little bit of a trick question. Both. They were both amazed and terrified by Jesus. So let's take our passage today and our comprehension questions, and let's get some reflection questions all around the subject of amazing peace. And these questions, I want to let you know ahead of time, they are simple. Do not underestimate the power of these questions because of their simplicity. It doesn't take away from their importance or their power in your life. So let's reflect on this when we're thinking about this amazing peace. Reflection questions. Every day before your feet touch the side of your, or the floor beside the floor on the side of your bed, before your day gets started, ask yourself these 4 questions. Ask yourself these 4 questions and see if they don't start leading you to a more peaceful life. Question number 1, am I listening to Jesus? Simple, but oh, so important for us to be reminded of that and to ask ourselves that question on a daily basis. Am I listening to Jesus? It was Jesus' idea to get in the boat. We filled that out. We all answered that. We all confirmed that. It's clear in Scripture. It was Jesus' idea to get into the boat and to go to the other side. They were on their way to the other side to take care of what we talked about last week. When they arrived at the other side of the lake, it's the scene that we talked about last week with the Gerasene demoniac. How often do we miss the guidance of Jesus? The guidance of Jesus' ideas in our lives because we simply are not listening to him. This can cause us to miss out on some great experiences with him. It was Jesus' idea. Let's go over to the other side of the lake. And there are some of you that are thinking, you're a step ahead of me there, and you're like, wait a minute. It was that storm. The storm came after Jesus said, let's get on the lake and go to the other side. Let's go. The storm came. If they wouldn't have gotten in a boat, they wouldn't have been in the storm. Yes, a huge storm came. But if they wouldn't have been in the boat listening to Jesus, they would have missed a peace-experiencing event with Jesus, much bigger than the storm. It's very important to ask ourselves this first question. Am I listening to Jesus? There are a lot of things that Jesus could be telling you right now. Things ranging from the very specific, telling you that he has a ministry plan for you, that he's laying something on your hearts, or all the way to just general living as a child of God, living as a Christian, basic choices, basic behavior. When we listen to Jesus, we listen to him through his word, the most concrete form of communication that we have from him, the Bible. So am I listening to Jesus? Am I reading the Bible? Am I really listening to it, not just reading it? Not just punching our time card in with our daily devotional in the morning, but really listening. It's Mother's Day. Let me address mothers and wives, women. I'm pretty sure I want to get a unanimous answer from both. Is there a difference between hearing and listening? Is there a difference when your children hear you and a difference when they listen to you? Is there a difference when your husband... Okay, I shouldn't go there. But there's a difference between hearing and listening. Are you hearing God's word or are you listening to it? Am I listening to Jesus? Am I internalizing it? Am I pondering it? Am I reflecting on it? Am I meditating on it? Am I dwelling in it? God can speak to you through the scripture and he can speak to you through his Holy Spirit. Laying a burden on your heart, as I talked about earlier, tugging on those heartstrings, moving you to think about something or someone. Listening to God in and of itself will bring a level of peace to your life. Having that relationship connection with God. And if you're missing that, you're missing out on peace. The assurance of that relationship. The assurance that that relationship is alive and active. And that you are engaged in a relationship with God. That brings security and that brings stability, which both of those are forms of peace. Listening is very important, but listening isn't enough. We have to do what he says, and that's what question number two is. We have to be obedient. Question number two, am I doing what he's telling me to do? Simple questions, but very important. Am I doing what he's telling me to do? Jesus said, let's get in the boat and go over to the other side of the lake. And the disciples, they did just that. They jump in the boat. They think nothing of it. They're going to obey him. He's Jesus. I wonder what the skies looked like when they got in the boat. I wonder. Am I doing what he's telling me to do? This will lead to peaceful times. Peaceful times that you will miss if you're living your life according to your own agenda. If you're getting into your own boat instead of his boat that he's invited you into. The Bible says that he leads us to quiet pastures. That happens. But there are other times when we get in the boat with Jesus that Jesus invites us into. And it leads to an adventurous time. Even times that could be considered turbulent and dangerous. And though the situation isn't peaceful, you're in the boat that Jesus invited you into. You're in the boat that was Jesus' idea. So you can be at peace, even though peace does not surround you. You can still be at peace because you know that you're in the boat that Jesus told you to be. And you know that you are being faithful. You know that you are in the boat that Jesus invited you into. Sometimes when we aren't listening to Jesus, we aren't doing what he says, we get into our own boat. And we chase our own agenda, and that can be peaceful sometimes. But when it's not peaceful, when it's not a peaceful ride, when storms come up, you can't be at peace in the same way that you can be at peace in this boat during this storm. Because you aren't in the boat you should be in. Am I doing what he's telling me to do? The wind and the waves obey him. The wind and the waves obey him. Listen, Christians, the wind and the waves obey him. Shouldn't we? Shouldn't we? Question number three. Why am I so afraid? Why am I so afraid? If you're following Jesus, then what is there to be afraid of? If you're listening to Jesus and you're in the boat that he invited you into, you're in this particular place in your life. You're in this particular situation in your life because you listened to Jesus and you know you did. And you followed his lead. You were obedient and you went where he asked you to go. You're doing what he asked you to do. If you're in that situation, that circumstance, no matter what storm blows up, what have you got to be afraid of? You're there because you listened to Jesus. You're there because you did what he told you to do. Even if Jesus seems to be asleep, you're still in his boat. Amen? What's there to be afraid of? You are in the same boat with the master of the wind and the waves. Fear can disrupt our peace tremendously. I think a lot of our stress, that survey in 2007 and 2015, I think a lot of that comes from fear, really. And if you're in Jesus' boat, then what's there to be afraid of? Think about how much less stress you would have in your life if you would live without fear. You know, that list they listed, money was number one. What would it be like if you got rid of all the fear that was associated with money? If you got rid of all of the financial fear, how much more peace would you have in your life? If you didn't worry about money, because money can consume your thoughts. Jesus knew this. That's why Jesus said, you can only serve one of two masters. You can serve God or you can serve what? Money. He knew that money was so powerful that it would consume your thoughts. There's no wonder that money is the number one stress-related cause in America. Make good choices financially. Be responsible. Be generous, but trust God with your money. Trust God over the money. And watch the fear decrease and the peace increase. What about work? That was number two. What do you fear at work? If you worked every day for your company, as the Bible says we should work, that we should do everything as if we're serving who? God, the Lord. Work as if you're working for the Lord. If you went to work every day working that way, where's the fear in that? If you're listening to Jesus and you're in the boat that he's asked you to be in, you're at your job because you follow Jesus' lead there, and you continue in that, and you work as if you're working for the Lord, where's the fear? If you trusted God to help you get your job done with excellence, if you turn to God for wisdom in your field of work, moment by moment, God, help me out with this problem. Help me out with this project. Help me get this done. If you loved your enemies at work, how much more peace would you have at your place of work? If you were wise as a serpent and innocent as a lamb, would that start to get rid of the fear? What about your family responsibilities? I don't think I'm alone here in that desire. I want to be a good husband. I want to be a good dad. I want to be a good son. If I'm listening to God and I'm doing what he tells me to do, that'll take care of a lot of that, actually. Then what's there to be afraid of? I'll make mistakes. I will let my loved ones down from time to time. But if I just let that fear consume me, that I'm never going to be enough, then that fear will debilitate me. It will take away from that, and I will always come up shorter than I would without the fear. So what do you have to fear? If you're doing what God's asking you to do, you just do your best. And you be the best spouse you can be, the best child you can be, the best parent you can be. Worried and afraid, Dusty, is not a great husband. He's not a great dad. He's not a great son. But peace-filled Dusty, my wife can attest, has a much better chance of being a great dad, a great husband, and a great son. How about your health? Didn't Jesus say something about looking at the birds and how they're taken care of? Yes? Okay, I know he did. That was, okay. Some of you guys are like, gosh, you should know that. That's like 101 stuff. If you just look at the birds, I mean, they're finally out. I think they peeked out and then went back in and peeked out and went back in. I think they're finally out now. If you just look at the birds, God takes care of them. And aren't we worth more than birds to God? We're going to have health problems because we live in a fallen world. That's going to happen. Some of our health problems come because we've participated in a fallen world. Some of our health problems come from decisions and choices we've made. Some of our health problems come just because we live in a world where people get sick. It's going to happen. Is your fear going to do anything to change the condition of your health? Yes, it will. It most certainly will. It will make it worse. It will make it worse. Fear will only add to the difficulty. Instead, trust God. Don't be afraid. Don't be ruled by fear. I've got a number of different things that are wrong with me in my blood. I don't know which one of them is going to get me first. But I do what I can to try and live somewhat healthy. I could do more, but I try to be responsible. Is fear going to help me live longer? Is fear going to help me have a better quality of life while I'm here? I don't look forward to suffering if my health goes down that road. What's there to be afraid of? What's there to be afraid of if I'm in the boat that Jesus has told me to be in? Where's the fear? Many times we don't experience the freedom of peace because we're bound by fear. We worry because we're afraid. We control situations. We try to control people because we're afraid. The disciples were afraid. But when we look at the story, they just listened to Jesus. They just did what Jesus told them to do. And they were in the boat of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. He had invited them into the boat. It was Jesus' idea. They listened and they obeyed. If you're listening and you're obeying, then what's there to be afraid of? This world's going to be scary at times. It's a scary place. Storms will come up. The only way to escape the fear of this world and find peace is through faith. It's through being where you need to be. Why am I afraid? Question number 4. Where is my faith? Where is my faith? Jesus asked the disciples, where's your faith? Is my faith in my skills on this lake? Is my faith in my skills with money? Is my faith in my skills at my job? Is my faith in my skills as a husband or as a father? Is my faith in my skills on this boat on the lake? Is my faith in this boat? Is my faith in my circumstance or my situation? Because there will be storms that will outmatch your skills and overpower your resources. No matter how good your boat is, no matter how good your resources are, no matter how padded you've made yourself by building and surrounding yourself with the right resources, there will be storms that will overpower them. No matter how skilled you have become in any of these areas in your life, there will be storms that will outmatch your skills. No matter how skilled of a captain you are, no matter how good your boat is, if you're listening to Jesus and you're doing what he's telling you to do, then no matter what comes up, you don't have anything to fear. And you just place your faith in him. And I know that sounds so very simple. And I told you the questions were simple today. But that absolutely does not negate the importance. I love that part about our faith. I love that about our faith. Faith in God can be very, very simple. It doesn't have to be complex to follow God, to be a great Christian, to be a great child of God. Faith will get you through it. Faith will get you through it. If you're in this situation, you're in the boat of Jesus Christ. You're there because he led you there. He invited you in, and you are in the boat with the only person who can say, "Quiet, be still." And the world has to listen to his command because he is Lord. Maybe you're in the right boat. Maybe you're in this boat, but you're trying to solve your problems on your own. You've been led to that boat. Your faith led you there because of the obedience and listening to Jesus. But you're there and you're in a storm and you're depending on your own faith. You're putting faith in your own skills. You're depending on you. And you simply need to back up a moment this morning and you need to evaluate. Did I listen to Jesus? Am I in this place because I listened to Jesus? Yeah, I am. Am I here because I did what Jesus told me to do? Yeah, I am. Then the solution for peace is simple. Turn to Jesus. Place your faith in him. Maybe you're not in this boat. Maybe you placed your faith in yourself from the beginning. From the beginning of these choices, these decisions, these ambitions. And you're in a completely different boat than you should be in. You're in a completely different place because you're in that boat because you didn't listen to Jesus. And you're in that boat because you didn't do what he asked you to do. And now you're in a storm, and that storm is because you're in the wrong boat and the wrong place at the wrong time. And really, and I'm not trying to rub your nose in it, but you're there because it's your own fault. Guess what? You're looking for peace, and that's the beauty of grace. That's how marvelous God's mercy is. That even when you're in this boat, you can find Jesus and wake him up and say, "Jesus, I messed up bad. Save me. Rescue me." And he will. He will come to your aid. He will come to your rescue. Now, you might have to weather that storm that you got yourself into, and you might see some results, some damage done to your boat. But he will rescue you. He will see you through that, even if you're in it because of your own decisions. Peace is found in both places. By simply having faith, by simply placing our faith in Jesus. Am I listening to Jesus? Whose idea was it to get in the boat and go to the other side? It was Jesus' idea. If you want peace, that's the place to start, to listen to Jesus on a daily basis. Am I listening to Jesus? Am I doing what he told me to do? If so, then you are set up to be at peace. Either at peace because he's led you to quiet waters, or at peace because he's led you to stormy waters, and you know that the master of the wind and the waves is in the boat with you. Did the disciples have a legitimate fear? Absolutely they did. This world is a scary place sometimes. Are we going to face legitimate fears? Absolutely. There are going to be times when we were just scared and terrified by the situation around us. Even so, we have nothing to fear if we're in the place where Jesus has called us to be. And our only choice in any of these situations, even if you're in the wrong boat, our only choice is to place our faith in Jesus if you want peace. If we want to chase after peace, if you want to hear those words in your life, quiet, be still, and experience amazing peace.